Surprises in Heaven. One day I was with my brother Frank when I saw a tall young man looking wistfully at us. A close scrutiny revealed his identity, and I exclaimed with joy, extending both hands to him, "My dear Carol!" He smiled a bright welcome as he extended both hands. "Will you come and see the home that is being built for my mother?" I looked at my brother for his sanction. He nodded his head pleasantly and said to Carol, "I will leave you two together, and you will bring her to me later?" "Indeed, yes," said my nephew, and we went away happily together. We soon reached the home, and I was truly charmed with it in every way. It was fashioned much like my brother Neil's home, and like it, built of polished woods. It was only partly finished, but was most artistically done. Although uncompleted, I was struck with the fact that everything was perfect so far as finished. There was no debris anywhere, no chips, no shavings, no dust. The wood seemed to be perfectly prepared elsewhere, where I have no idea. The pieces were made to fit accurately, like the parts of a great wooden puzzle. It required much skill and artistic taste to properly adjust each piece to its place. "You know," my nephew said, "there is no noise from the workmen here, no hammering, no unwelcome sounds." I thought at once of the Temple of Jerusalem, where during its erection there was neither hammer nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house. "It is very beautiful, my dear boy," I said enthusiastically. "But what is this? A fireplace? Is it ever cold enough for fires?" "It is never cold," he answered, "but the fire here never sends out unneeded warmth. We have its cheer and beauty and glow without any of its discomforts." "It is charming. But did you not make the stained glass window also?" "No, I have a friend who has been taught that art, and we exchange work. He helps me with the windows, and I in turn help him with his fine woodwork and inlaying. I'm going to make a flower room for my mother, similar to yours, only of lilies and violets, which will retain their perfume always." "How lovely! I want to thank you, dear Carol, for your share in our flower room. It is the most exquisite work I ever saw, and it is doubly so when I remember whose hands fashioned it." "It was a labor of love with us all," he said simply. "That is what enhances its beauty for me," I said. "But sit here by me now and tell me about yourself. Do you spend all your time at this delightful work?" "Oh, no, indeed. Perhaps what we used to call 2 or 3 hours daily. Much of my time is still spent with Grandfather. I do not know what I should have done when I first came here but for him. I was so ignorant about this life, and came so suddenly. He met me at the very entrance, and took me at once home, where he and Grandma did everything possible to instruct and help me. If I had only done more on earth. If I could even go back to the old life for an entire year, if I could only go to my old friends, or better, into every Sunday school in the world, and beseech the boys and girls to try to understand and profit by the instruction they received. I used to go to Sunday school, help sing the hymns, read the lessons, listen to all that was said, and I really enjoyed every minute of it. Sometimes I would feel a great longing for a better life, but there seemed to be no one to especially guide me or help me, and the impression made was very transient. Why do not the teachers take more interest in the daily lives of their scholars? Oh, I wish I could go back and tell them this. His face beamed with enthusiasm as he talked, and I too wished it might be possible for him to do as he desired. But alas, neither will they believe though one rose from the dead, I thought. It is time for me to go with my grandfather, he said, arising. But we will walk together as far as your home. And you will let me see you often, will you not? Gladly, I answered as we set forth. We conversed of many things as we walked, until we reached my door, and with a word that we would meet again, we parted.